We are in Come Follow Me, week 44, which is Hebrews chapters 1 through 6. And I want to start in chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Verse 2, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward," verse 3, "how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" And what I thought of as I got to these verses is conference, and just the effort that we put in to give more earnest heed. One of my favorite lessons to teach in seminary and Sunday school is the lesson after conference, and have the kids before conference think of a question or a concern, and after conference have them come and share the talk that stood out to them or spoke to them the most and why. And one of the things that I have really loved about that is I have given more earnest heed because I knew I had to be prepared to have this discussion with them. I have re-listened. I feel like the first time you hear a conference, it's so different for me if I listen to it as they are speaking. There's just a power there that if I listen to it later, I don't get that same feeling, but that very first time, and maybe it's just that I'm coming prepared to hear what he has to say to me specifically. And then I take notes and then I re-listen. And there's always things that stand out as I re-listen that I didn't hear the first time. And then I love when we get it in written form and we can really pull it apart and study it as we see the word on the paper. And I just love that. So that's what came to me, that it does slip. And it's interesting, by the time 6 months passes, that I am ready for new conference talks. And yet, nothing new is ever said. There's no new doctrine that's ever unrolled. And yet, it refreshes me. It re-enlivens me. It reinvigorates me. It makes me recommit to be who the Lord needs me to be. And so that's what I thought of, and I loved that. Okay, the second thing is in that same chapter, chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, and it says this, 6, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. We are his stewards. 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet." And the reason this jumped out at me is I thought of the temple film. And I love when Adam and Eve are cast out and Satan is sneering and basically threatens them and threatens all of mankind. I love that the Savior says, "Thou shalt have power to bruise his heel, but he shall have power to crush thy head." And I think it is just so important to know Satan is empty threats when we pair with God. It isn't that we're strong enough. It's that God is. And that even Satan has to obey, although he doesn't acknowledge him. And so I love that he has put all things in subjection under our feet. And love that he says, made him a little lower than the angels. He never terms us negatively. It's always how great we are. It's the young men, young woman theme. I am a daughter of God. And it's Moses, "Who art thou and where is thy light?" as he talks to Satan and says, "For I am a child of God." It's so important that we know that. And that's what's beautiful in these messages. Okay. Third, if you will go to chapter 3, and I love this verse 3, and it says, "For this man was counted worthy of much of more glory than Moses. He who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." And I thought of this scripture in John 3, 30 and 31. And this is John the Baptist who says, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all." And it's recognizing we have great awe and honor for Moses, but let's not forget who Moses was honoring and following and exemplifying and where his power came from. It came from God. And all of us have the promise of that priesthood power if we pair with God. So I just love that there is no doubting that it is God's power. And this reminded me so much of President Nelson asking us about 5 years ago to stop going by the nickname of Mormon and to rebrand. He dropped all the Mormon.org and all the things that had millions of dollars had gone into I Am a Mormon, all these campaigns, and totally rebranded the church by the correct name. And it's comical because you read in the scriptures and everywhere the Lord is very clear it should be called by his name. We are not the Church of Mormon. We are not the Church of Moroni. We are not the Church of Nephi. We are not the Church of Joseph Smith. We are the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it is amazing in the past 5 years to look back and see how the world now recognizes, not across the board, but so much more, that we are Christian. One of the examples that I can use is that The Chosen has people from our faith helping on that. I also love K-Love Radio, and it stuns me in the last little while to hear artists from our faith performing. They play their songs, which they never would have done before. And so I just love this. This lets be very, very careful that we know whose church this is and whose power we wield. Okay, chapter 5, a couple other things that I love is verse 8 and 9 in chapter 5. And it says, "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered." Verse 9, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him." And I love that because he grew line upon line. He never sinned. He never struggled like we do to obey. He always did the will of the Father. But he too grew grace on grace. And he makes us perfect through the things we suffer, through the things we learn. And that goes back to those first verses. I loved that it said in verse 2, "For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense." What that meant to me is consequences, that God has an eternal perspective, and he allows us to live under these earth laws, to struggle and to grow, because he knows eternally it is for our good. That is how we become like him. We call upon him. We rely on him. None of us makes it without him. We have the humility to finally accept that and accept his grace and his gift. So I love that. Okay. And then I want to jump through. So it is his obedience and his humility and that example. And I loved also verse 14, and it said this, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." And that just brought me right back to the prophet and apostles, that they are our servants, that they are those who serve us and who have given up careers and everything to serve us their entire lives and have suffered and struggled and grown grace by grace so that they could become like our Savior and teach us. And so that goes right back to that verse 1 of chapter 2. "Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things they have taught us, which we have heard." That is so imperative. And I want to end in Hebrews chapter 6. And in 15, it says, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Patiently endured. 19, "Which hope we have as an anchor to our soul, eternal perspective and hope. 20, whither the forerunner is for us, even Jesus Christ. We focus on him and we remember that the reward is after this life, that we are here to learn and grow grace by grace, to humbly submit, to repent daily, to strive to become like him, to give more earnest heed to our prophet and apostles, and to learn and to have faith and to have patience. I love that I have learned this year to pray that God will pray for me, that my faith fail not. I am so grateful for this gospel. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.